Good afternoon, everyone. Golden Week is finished. Amen. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. While you're turning there, I want to say it's good to be home. I was gone for two Sundays in a row because I was working two Sundays straight, and no weekends, so 16 days straight of work. That's half a month, and that's not to boast, but that's to complain. Yeah, it's too much work, and that's okay, though. Somehow, after 16 days straight of work, you get 3 days straight off, which you never get. So I don't know which is better. But but I thank the Lord that I can be back here just with my people and just singing anything. It doesn't matter to God. So praise the Lord. We're in Romans chapter 8, and if you look at the title, Resurrection, this sounds like an Easter sermon, Resurrection. It is an Easter sermon. This was the sermon I had prepared for Easter back in April, and Pastor Kevin was kind enough to say, oh, I'll preach for Easter. I said, great, thank you. So I've been sitting on this sermon for over 3 weeks now. Finally, it's coming out, and it's not too late. I'm sure it's just in time for somebody to hear the good news of resurrection and what that means. Amen? So, Romans chapter 8, it's my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. I remember reading this in Bible college, and I thought, I have to memorize this chapter. And it's one of those chapters you have to write on the tablet of your heart. It's so good from beginning to end. You can, even if you're not listening to me preach today, and you just go ahead and read Romans 8, the whole chapter, that's better, I think. It's so good. It preaches itself. But I will read verse 1 through 12. Verse 1 through 12. And you can join me at verse 11. I'm going to preach up to just verse 11. Join me at 11 and we'll read to the end of 12. So here we go. I'm going to read 1 through 10. Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And let's read together. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. I'm going to preach mainly from verse 10 and 11. I think I sent the wrong text to the people who are making our bulletin. So forgive me if I sent 11 and 12. I'm going to preach from 10 and 11. That's the main text. So you should have your own Bible open because the bulletin will only help you halfway. So I'm going to start from verse 10, okay? Verse 10. And even verse 10, that's starting in the middle, really. So the two main questions I want to ask in today's message, two questions. The first question is, in what way did Christ Jesus rise from the dead? In what meaning, in what sense, what way did he rise? It says, if, in verse 10, if Christ is in you, verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. So the Bible is saying Jesus rose from the dead. That's what the Bible is saying. So in what way did He rise from the dead? What meaning? And then the second question is, in what way does that change us? How do we change because of the resurrection? Or because of the way He's resurrected? If that's a confusing introduction, it's okay. I'll try to clear it up. So, first question, in what way did He resurrect? I'll begin with in March, I was teaching my 10th grade English class, and we were having a discussion about religion. Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism. And typically the students are discussing with each other, you know, and also, you know, what's important, why, are they all the same, you know, everything. And what about human life? Is abortion, you know, what, you can talk about the ideas of each religion, but what does it say about life? So we were talking about abortion and the meaning of a life. And finally, at the end, somebody raised their hand and said, Habakkuk-sensei, what do you think? I said, okay, you asked. My opinion is, I'm a Christian. So, Christians believe we are made humans are made with God's image. And because humans have God's image, they're different from plants, different from animals. And so it's wrong to kill a human being. Everybody can agree. But I said, so many Christians fight against abortion, but the main reason Christians fight against abortion is because we believe the body is important. And the body is important because Jesus rose from the dead in a new body. So if Jesus did not rise from the dead, which we Christians believe, we wouldn't be fighting things like abortion or other things like that. Everything depends on the resurrection of Jesus. So I was back in the 1990s, the mid-90s to late 90s, I was in college, in Bible school, and during that time, there was a very big news from an organization called the Jesus Seminar. So these were college professors and so-called Bible scholars who studied the history of the Bible and the text. And they all got together and they would say, what parts of the Bible, especially the New Testament, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what parts are 100% fact, history, true? What parts are kind of mixed of news and fact and story? And what parts are just completely like story, like myth, you know? So this Jesus seminar, they would meet in like a meeting, and they would have three balls. One ball would be black, and then another one white, and another one red. And, you know, the question, did Jesus say, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God? And they would all vote, you know, because of their studies, black or white or red, black, white, red. So they would say, this is 100% true, this is half and half, and this was false. You know, like that. It's terrible. So a lot of my Bible college training was to try to fight this seminar, this Jesus, so-called Jesus seminar. They come around every 10 years or so. A few years ago, there was another so-called Bible scholar. His name was Bart Ehrman, and he was writing a book about whether or not Jesus resurrected. So, you know, it happens all the time. This is nothing new. So, the leader of the Jesus seminar, his name was John Dominic Crosan. I want to get his name right. John Dominic Crosan. He went on the National Public Radio in the United States. He was being interviewed by a woman named Lynn Deary, or Lynn Neary, I think is her name. And so, you know, they're talking about, you know, what did Jesus say, and is Matthew and Mark and Luke, are they true, blah, 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 blah. Finally, the interviewer of public radio, Lynn, she says, look, Dr. Crosan, just tell me, did Jesus rise from the dead? Is the resurrection true? So here's the leader of the Jesus Seminar. He answers, yes, 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 for Christians. Jesus rose from the dead in their hearts. It's a symbolic resurrection. And because of his symbolic or spiritual resurrection, you know, Christians have hope and peace, and they have passion for the poor and for fighting injustice and blah, 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 you know? But for, you know, non-Christians and non-believers, well, it doesn't matter. Did he really rise from the dead? What's the Bible's answer? Let me put this as strongly as I can put it without being too ugly. Hell no. Hell no. It wasn't a symbolic resurrection. And the difference between a real bodily resurrection and a symbolic resurrection, spiritual resurrection, is the difference between heaven and hell. So hell no, it's not a symbolic resurrection. It was real. That's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Honey, Kankan's awake. Sorry. So that's the first question. Now, I don't know what you have been taught, you know, in the churches you've come from, or if you yourself understand what you believe about Jesus' resurrection. But what the Bible clearly teaches, without any doubt, black and white, 100% true, is that Jesus rose from the dead as a part of history. It's a part of fact. It's a 100% true, documented part of history that Jesus rose bodily from the dead. Now, Chris, Pastor Chris, you know, they didn't have video. They didn't have tape recording. They didn't have, you know, the modern technology that we have to record all this. So how do we know it's true? How do we know it all exists? What is the evidence, and how can we rely on the evidence? Now, for those of you who don't, you know, you're not trying to dig up all the evidence, it's okay. The evidence is there. Okay, the evidence is there. Just one quick example. One of the greatest scholars that we have living today, his name is Nicholas Thomas Wright, N.T. Wright. He was got his doctorate from Oxford University, a great historian, a philosopher. He wrote this amazing book, 1,200 pages. It's called The Resurrection of the Son of God. And it goes through not just the scriptures, but all of history and philosophy. Amazing book. So this is one thing that he says. You know, how did the Bible become so popular around the first Christians? Here's what happened. Pastors like Peter, James, John, Paul, these pastors, they would visit the churches, and they would write letters to the churches. And these letters were so powerful, and they were so encouraging. And then other educated people like Matthew, John Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote the stories of Jesus. They put them all together. And they became so powerful, here's what happened. They copied them again, and they gave them to other people. And they copied them again, and they copied and copied and copied, not hundreds of copies, thousands of copies of the letters, of the texts, of the gospel stories. You know what? These thousands of documents that we have, they are more than any of the other documents about ancient history, about Caesars, about Alexander's the Greats, about Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, about the ancient Greek histories, Mesopotamia, Syrians, Assyria, Egypt. All of them put together, they have not enough to compare with the New Testament copies that we still have. So here's what N.T. Wright says. You want to take away all of the documents about Jesus, the Gospels, and the New Testament? You want to throw those out and say, we can't trust them? You know what? You can throw out every other document and copy of ancient history and say, well, then Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the pharaohs, you know, who knows if they really existed. That's how solid the evidence is. That's just one evidence. So I don't want to bore you, but I want to encourage you. I want you to understand Christians for 2,000 of years have always said when Jesus rose from the dead, it was his body, his physical body. You know what he did? You read Luke chapter 24. He said, look at my hands. Look at this hole. You got food? Let me eat it. I'm so real. I'm so physical. I can come and touch you and I can eat fish with you. That's how real I am. And you know how real these documents are? They wrote the names of these people so that you can understand this is not a story, this is history. The reason I just told you about John Dominic Crossan is you can now go ahead and on your phone, you can Google NPR, John Dominic Crossan, Jesus Seminar. You can check for yourself if what I said is legitimate. That's why the names of those people in the Bible are in there. So that the people in the first century can read Mary of Magdala, John, Peter, Paul, James. Oh, we know where he, Timothy, Didymus, Levi, Matthew. We can check with him. Did you really see him alive? Did you really touch his hands? Did you really eat fish with him? That's why they're there, so that they can be a witness to the live, body, real resurrection of Jesus. That's the first question. In what way did Jesus rise from the dead? Was it symbolic? Hell no, it was not symbolic. It was 100% bodily and real. And the difference between those two things is the difference between heaven and hell. To believe in one will definitely tell you which way you're going to go. And that's good news. Because really, if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, if it's just some spiritual symbolic thing, oh, what am I doing here on a day like today? Why am I here? There, look at this beautiful day. I could be out there getting a nice suntan, watching a baseball game, out by the river. My sons want to go fishing. I don't even want to fish. But I'd rather go out there than spend it in here if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is not enough fun to be had. There's not enough food to eat. There's not enough beer to drink. There's not enough money to spend on myself. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there's not enough hours for me to sleep in the morning. Not enough clothes for me to buy. Not enough time on my cell phones and on my gadgets to spend. This is all a waste if Jesus didn't rise really from the dead. But if Jesus really did rise from the dead, there's no such thing as too many Sundays. There's no such thing as too many hours here. I could spend all my days here. Better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. If Jesus really rose from the dead, I cannot give enough money away. If Jesus really rose from the dead, there is not enough time to spend with you singing, worshiping, praying, studying, preaching, teaching. There are not enough hours in the day to tell people about Jesus Christ if he really rose from the dead. So that's one thing. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says he rose from the dead. But you know what? Here's the truth. You can believe the truth. That's the good doctrine. But good doctrine will not save you. The best teaching from this pulpit or any other church, it's not enough to save your soul. It's not. Good doctrine is not enough to save you. What you need for salvation is the Spirit of the living God to come in to transform you. That's what we need. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus rose from the dead, not so we can say, Jesus rose from the dead. No. Jesus rose from the dead to show us that the power that raised him from the dead is available to us. That's what the Bible from beginning to end is teaching us. I want to demonstrate that to you. So verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Now, that is just the kind of explanation. I need you to go back to verse 10. So you got to go back in your Bible to verse 10. And it says something very important in verse 10 that I want to show you. Forgive me that it's not up on the screen and it's not in your bulletin. It says in verse 10, if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So I need you to go to that part where it says, even though your body is subject to death. So the real, the Greek part, the Greek language there, it's the original language, it doesn't say is subject to death. That's an interpretation. It's not bad, but here's what it really says. Even though your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, the reason it says in the New International Version, in this version, is subject to death, is because of verse 11. Okay? Verse 11 says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Give life. So that in verse 12, 11, where it says give life, that's the same idea in verse 10. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And so they took that and interpreted the clause in front of it because the body is subject to death. Well, what are we getting at here? Here's the thing. This is the good part. How are we changed as Christians, okay? We are dead. Dead people don't feel anything. I sometimes wonder why recently are there so many movies about zombies, right? The Walking Dead is this very popular TV show. I don't know if you've watched it. I've never watched it, but I know it's kind of a big thing. But you know, even Brad Pitt, he had a movie about World War Z. Thank you, Tim. I watched it. Good movie, Brad Pitt. So, there's movies, TV shows, just video games, you know. You have to kill all the Walking Dead. I just wonder, why is this such a popular phenomenon? Why are zombies and Walking Dead so prevalent in culture now? It wasn't when I was a kid. I don't know, but here's one thing I thought of. I wonder if it's because many people feel like they are the Walking Dead. They can relate to someone who, even though their body is alive, they're dead inside. They're just every day, they're like a machine. Get up, go to work. Eat, go home, go to bed, get up. It's just the whole thing. And we're don't say amen. You can say ouch, but that, you know, they feel like what? And here's the thing. The walking dead, the zombies, you know what they have? They're always hungry, but they're never full. They're never satisfied. They always, you know. And so people, they just want, they want new clothes. They want new phones. They want new this. And they know it gets old. They have this, but eventually it's not enough. And people my age, we always want to eat and eat and eat. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Why am I hungry right now? I know this is not going to satisfy me, but I still want to eat. I'm like a zombie. Your spirit, your body is dead because of sin. And I feel like maybe people can relate to that. We are a walking dead. Your body is dead because of sin. So what is he saying? Now, I like the translation. You're subject to death. What does it mean? We believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead by the power of the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 1. Now, that Spirit is in my body. Hallelujah. I'm going to live forever. Not just spiritually. I'm going to live forever in a body. But this body, right now, this skin and these bones and this muscle, it still has pain. It still has fatigue. I still get sick. It's subject to death. It is dying. My ankles, my knees, my back, my shoulders, my neck, it's going down. It's deteriorating. That's death. Death is deterioration. Death is falling apart. Because of what? Sin. Sin. Disobedience. Rebellion against God. What is sin, Kyohei? What is sin? Yes. That's right. Sin is not obeying and breaking the law of God. What is meant by not obeying? Not being or doing what God says. What is meant by breaking the law? Doing what God does not allow. That's sin. Breaking the law of God. Not doing what God says. And doing what God does not allow. Our body is dead because of sin. We rebelled against God. We do it our way. We know what's right, but we still do it our way. Our body is dead because of sin. So we fight with sin. We fight with this desire. We fight all of that. But the good news of Easter Sunday and every Sunday is that our spirit is alive. Oh, good. Lord, help me preach this right, please. Our spirit is alive. The spirit is alive because of righteousness. We have this expression in Christian churches. Many people say this. I struggle with sin. Right? I feel like sin has a chain on my hands or on my feet. And I'm struggling with this habit, these words. This, whatever. All of us say we have this, I struggle with sin. You know what? That's not the Bible. That's not Romans chapter 8. That is Romans chapter 7. Have you read Romans chapter 7? I know the good I want to do, but I don't do it. And the evil I don't want to do, I do it, right? I don't want to do it, I do it. I want to do it, I don't do it. Woe is me. What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death, right? That's Romans 7. that's not a Christian. Okay? Because in Romans chapter 8, it says, yeah, you're dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Here's what I'm saying. You do not struggle with sin. Sin is actually struggling with you. Because sin knows it has lost. Sin has been defeated on the cross. Death has no victory over you. Oh, sin is going to fight you. Okay, I was wrestling with my little boys today in the morning. They were jumping all over me, beating on me. I loved it. Fighting me and wrestling and kicking me. And I'm playing. Oh, you got me. Oh, you hit me. Oh, you hurt me. Oh, good punch. They didn't beat me. One move of this hand. I don't do it, but that's sin. Sin is just this little thing trying to beat you up. But sin can never defeat you because you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. It's resurrection power. You don't struggle with sin. Yeah, sin is going to fight with you. And maybe sin, it's going to give you some little stumbles. You fall. You hurt. You scratch yourself. Okay? You mess up. You make mistakes. You have consequences. Okay? Yes. You make bad decisions. You did things you regret, and you're living with those natural consequences. You're reaping what you've sown. Okay. That's not the end of the story. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus has the last word, and his word over you is not, oh, poor you. Oh, kawaiso. No, his word over you is get up. Get up. You don't struggle with sin. Sin is struggling with you. So get up. Be cleansed. Confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Oh, okay. You have conviction. You have conviction over sin. That's a good thing. You repent. You confess. And you go in victory. Yes, you think Satan has a chain around your neck? Have you read your Bible? Have you read Revelation? The chain is around his neck. His power is limited. His power is only what God allows him to have. Okay, you sin. You know what? God is so awesome and sovereign and powerful that even your mistakes, he will transform into victory. 8:28. That's God. You don't struggle with sin. Sin is just kind of like a little, just trying to beat you up. Stop, oh, poor me. No. Satan, Romans chapter 16. Our God will soon crush Satan under your feet. Read your Bible. Believe his promises. His word is true. The devil is a liar. So you get up, you walk, and you put away the guilt and the shame and the defeat. You put away the punishment. Look, did Jesus take your punishment? Do you really believe that? Let this be the day you believe it again. Did Jesus take your guilt and your shame? Did he do that for you? Believe it again today. Because the Spirit of the living God is living in you. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Last point. So it says in verse 12. Verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. not to the flesh to live according to it. What does it mean? It means this. God really cares about your body. You see, in many religions and many philosophies, even in Buddhism, even in other philosophies, it says, look, it's all spiritual. The body doesn't matter. This is not, in Buddhism and Hinduism, this is not reality, right? So you can deprive your body or you can, whatever, give all you want to your body. So, you know, and so some Christians make the mistake, oh, okay, in the end, this body is going to burn anyway. It doesn't matter. No. Here's what he's saying. God, in Genesis, when he made your body, he made it good. It was good. Your body is good. Food is good. Sleep is good. Sushi is good. Okay? Marriage is good. A sexual relationship is good. Those are good things. And because of our sin, things become bad. But because of Jesus, he makes it good again. So what we take into our health is important. You need to repent of some snack eating. You do. What we look with our eyes is important. What we do with our hands and what we say with our mouths, that's important. Those things, so we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh because the flesh will be redeemed one day. We need to prepare. We need to repent of our misuse of our body, of our time, our resources, of the physical things that we have. We need to repent of the way we treat the trees, the water, the ground, the air, because that will be redeemed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that God is saving because that's how he made it first. That's just a small point. But sometimes we think it's all about my spirit. It's all about just up here. No, it's here in your hands. Okay? Love your body because Jesus died for your body to be resurrected again. Last thing. I said last thing. I know I said last thing. But we got to go to the cross. We always go to the cross. All of this is possible because of the cross. How are you going to be transformed and how are you going to change? It's real simple. Faith and hope. Faith and hope. So a small point. The idea from the Spirit giving life to your bodies, that's not new. That's been in the Bible the whole time. So in Ezekiel, you don't have to go there, trust me. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel saw a whole valley of bones, just dead bones. And God told Ezekiel, preach to these dead bones. And he preached to the dead bones, and there was flesh, meat, skin. And then here's what he said. Ezekiel, now there's bones, and there's skin, and there's meat, but there's no spirit. So preach, say to the winds, live. And in Ezekiel chapter 7, it says, the Spirit of God lived in his people. Paul, a few thousands of years later, reading his Bible, read that story and said, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that the Spirit of God can live in us. Lived. How does he live? Through the death of Christ. Jesus took our death so his Spirit can live in us. Come to the cross once more. Believe in his death. Because through his death, we have our resurrection. So let's thank the Lord now for that. And let's pray to him. Lord God, let these dry bones live. Lord God, let this body be redeemed. Lord God, let this spirit live in me. And Lord, we live in hope and in faith. We live in trust that you are faithful to your promise to save us. And we live in hope, and we are changed by that hope, Lord. Not by guilt, not by shame, not by fear, but we are transformed by hope. So, Lord, I ask that you would renew our minds. Renew our minds, Lord God, with the truth of this hope. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.